Right. So we have been away for a couple of weeks in December. So Sheila and I just got back about 2 weeks ago back to Perth. We went back to Malaysia. My brother got married. Christmas, holidays, catch up with family and friends was fantastic. Good time. And we also had a bit of R&R, rest and relaxation, because this year is a big year for us with the Wellard campus starting up. So some big, exciting things happening, but it's always good to take a break. It's always good to rest and gear yourself up for the things that God has prepared for us to do. So, yeah, it's good to be back in church. And, well, straight back into it, up here preaching again. So this is my third time preaching. I feel that every time as I come back and stand here, I gain more confidence. And that's not me. That's God. You know, that's God. The things that God can do in your life. It's amazing, the little that you have, you surrender to God, and He's going to take it and make it better. He's going to do, with what little you bring to God, He's going to change it beyond your imagination. So, yes, let's see what we have in store this morning, right? Let's click there, David. Oops, sorry, a bit too far. First time trying this as well, so bear with me. Righto. I wanted to talk about parting the Red Sea in your life. So this is the title of my sermon this morning. Now, if you remember when I preached the last time, right, I showed you guys some pics of the ship I work on, shared a little bit of my life as a seafarer. For those of you who don't know, I work on a ship. I'm a seafarer. So I am this morning again talking to you about the sea. You guys must be wondering, what's with Jonathan? You know, he's always talking about the sea. He can't get the sea out of his blood. But you know what? Trust me, it's just a coincidence. It's not something that I planned. It just came to me. So yeah, I am talking about the Red Sea, right? And while I was preparing this sermon topic last week, right? So there was some discussions going back and forth between myself and Sheila. And my son, Zach, he overheard our conversation. So, you know, the first thing he asked me, is the Red Sea red, really red? The innocence of a child, right? Well, for starters, the Red Sea is not red. It's blue, as you can see, the beautiful landscape behind. So, yeah, the Red Sea is not red. And, in fact, I've sailed on the Red Sea many years ago. Actually, we've been through the Red Sea region. It's a beautiful part of beautiful ocean region to sail in, as you can see from the picture on the slide. Magnificent landscape, clear blue waters. But it gets very hot sometimes, and we get affected by desert storms, right? So now, parting the Red Sea in your life. Let's see. Next one. So I'm going to go into Exodus 14, the Old Testament, right, where the Israelites were being led out of Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. I think a lot of us are familiar with this story. We've heard it in Sunday school as kids growing up, or, you know, but let's just go through it. And what had happened was the Israelites, they had been in captivity for 400 years, and the Egyptians were treating them harshly. These were God's people, right? So God was like, enough is enough. You know, I'm taking my people out to a new place. I'm going to give them a new start, a new beginning. So this brings us to the parting of the Red Sea story. You see, the Passover had just been completed. They finished the Passover feast, and Pharaoh told the Israelites to leave Egypt. He said, that's it, I've had enough of you people, and I want you guys to go, because a calamity had struck the Egyptians. God had taken away all their firstborn because the Egyptians were just being very harsh to the Israelites. So I'm going to start reading from the Bible. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. And I'm just going to read from verse 5 to 10, just give you a little bit of an overview of what was going on. So when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariots made ready. He took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers all over them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth opposite Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. So the army was pursuing the Israelites, and they were afraid. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord, as the scripture says. Just go on to change the slide. All right, it's the next one. So that's just a picture of approximately 1 million people, men, women, and children. Now, I just want you guys to picture this, right? Men, women, and children, all their belongings. And the Bible says there were large droves of livestock. They carried their livestock with them. Chooks, sheep, horses, you name it. See, the population of WA is about 2.6 million people. This was the census that was done in 2014. So this was nearly half the population of WA. And I just want you to picture that 1 million Israelites standing on the beach, Cottesloe Beach. I thought I'd use a local example because we have the coast. So 1 million people on Cottesloe Beach with all their kit, all their gear, and the aim was to get across to Rottnest Island, a.k.a. the Promised Land. All right? So we got 1 million people on Cottesloe Beach. They have to get to the Promised Land, Rottnest Island. Then you have the Egyptians somewhere up the hill near Mossman Park. You know, if you're familiar with the area, Mossman Park, Monument Hill, charging down with their chariots and weapons. So the Israelites would have been able to see them, you know, coming down. And God had to do this miracle. God would have to part the Indian Ocean for the Israelites to get through to Rottnest, okay? So I think you could get the drift of what I'm trying to say here. Just put yourself in that place, you know, and just trying to give you an example. Now, let's have a look at this. This is a modern-day illustration of the Red Sea crossing. So just imagine if it was today, this is what it would have been like. I think you see the truck there, Moses transports, caution, Joseph's bones. That's kind of cheeky, isn't it? Because Moses had to take the bones and transport it. But anyway, that's just to give you an idea. See the walls of that sea? You know, it's amazing. Hey, only God can do these things, you know, not by our own abilities. Now, I'm sure that most of us sitting here today, you guys have had a Red Sea moment in your life, all right? You know where you feel trapped, pressed against a wall. You're stuck in the middle of a sticky situation. The pressures of life are getting to you. You know, some of us may be struggling financially, trying to make ends meet, living paycheck to paycheck, searching for jobs in this harsh economic climate. You know, the oil and gas industry is down. The barrel price of the barrel keeps dropping. A lot of my mates, they've lost jobs, you know, and even the mining industry, things have slowed down. So searching for a job, it is a tough time to be searching for a job. Some of us may be trying to restore a broken relationship, either with your spouse, with your own children. You're not making any headway. You seem like, you know, nothing is working out, right? Maybe even trying to fit in at school or uni, you're having difficulty making friends, you know, because your friends think you're not cool enough. Even just trying to do life every day, right? You're searching for a deeper meaning. What is life about? What am I doing? What is the purpose of my existence in this world? These are some of the walls, or these are some of the Red Sea moments in our lives that we could be stuck in, or we could be in at the moment, you know. I want to assure you today that whatever your Red Sea moment is, at whatever point you're in your life, if you feel you're stuck, you're pressed against a wall, you're trapped, my first point is, remember who your God is. Remember who your God is. Like I said, we've all had Red Sea moments in our lives. Let's go on to the next part. The interesting thing we need to notice, how did the Israelites respond when they were trapped between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea? How did they respond? Now, I'm going to continue to read from Exodus 14, verses 10 to 12, all right? So, yes, we know they were terrified. And they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out to Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." So we see from their response that they had a negative attitude towards the changes that were taking place in their life. These were good changes, right? They were still, they'd rather be happy to be slaves in Egypt and to live life freely and have a chance at freedom. God was giving them an opportunity to break free from the bondages in their lives. Just get the slide back up. So God was actually giving them an opportunity to break free from the bondages in their lives. Yet they chose not to trust him. Just before this moment in the desert, you know, just before they were brought out to the desert, God had actually displayed through Moses a series of supernatural acts. You know, if you go on to read before verse 14 in Exodus, he sent plague after plague on the Egyptians because they were reluctant to set his people free. Only Egyptians were afflicted. Not one Israelite was harmed during this time. There were not random acts, but supernatural acts of God to build the faith of his people, to assure them that he was on their side. You see, the problem is they failed to remember who their God was, which brings me to my first point. They failed to remember who their God was. They got caught up with their situation, and they let their emotions get in the way, cloud their judgment. Look, I fully understand they were trapped, and they thought they had no way out. They thought they were doomed. That's it. You see, I think it's normal for us as humans to feel those emotions. It's normal for us to feel doubt. It's normal for us to get anxious, to feel worry, and question your circumstances. You know, that's human nature. So please don't beat yourself up when you have a Red Sea moment. Don't beat yourself up and say, oh, I can't allow these feelings to happen. Yes, you are allowed to feel that way. It's perfectly normal. But the most important thing is the question you need to ask yourself is, how do you deal with these emotions? That will determine the outcome of your situations, right? We cannot let these negative feelings and emotions build and fester within us. That is what the Israelites did and produced a negative response. They replied to Moses, they said, you brought us out to the desert here to die. Now, what about Moses? The main character in this story. He leads a million people to somewhat a dead end in the desert, right? So this guy is on the pump. He must have been really anxious. He probably had his own internal fears as well, hey? He probably was questioning God. You got me in this situation, Lord. Think about it. The people were angry with him. They were almost on the brink of rebellion. Trust me, I think if you got 1 million Western Australians angry at you, it's a pretty scary place to be in, all right? But the important thing we'd like to see is what his response was. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 to 14 says, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. What does God say? Stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. Amazing. Hallelujah. Now, this brings me to the second point in the story, right? All right. Second point. Stand firm and exercise your faith. Like I said, Moses' response was positive. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. The Lord will fight for you. This is because he experienced the supernatural power of God in his life. He had seen what God had done, you know. When Red Sea moments arise in your life, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to stand firm and exercise my faith. I'm going to stand firm and exercise my faith. Now, we continue to read in Exodus 14, verses 15 to 16. Let's keep going on. I'm just not going to read the whole thing. I'm taking snippets, all right, of chapter 14. So 15 to 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Okay, and continue on, verse 19 to 22. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and the light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right, and on their left. Amazing. What was the result of Moses' faith? The Red Sea parted. The result of Moses' faith, the Red Sea parted. Let's get back to that. Try and get back to that second slide. All right. Stand firm and exercise your faith. So I just want to tell you a little bit of a story here. February 7, 2007, this was going back 9 years ago, this was when Sheila and I first arrived in Perth. So this year actually marks 9 years since we've been out here. I know some of you also have migrated from other countries. We originally come out from Malaysia. So there are some migrants here who have come out to Australia. And I'm sure your journey to Australia may have been riddled with obstacles and it had its own challenges. So in 2007, I was actually studying at the Maritime College in Fremantle. So Sheila was the only one working at the time. I was a full-time student. And this was the start of the mining boom, if some of you recall. Things were pretty dear, pretty expensive in Perth. It was difficult to get rentals and things like that. And we were only on one income, living paycheck to paycheck. So after paying up rent, the other expenses for the month, we didn't have much excess left in our account. Not much left, just enough, you know, to get us through. So one day in college, about midway through my course, I think it was about June or July of 2007, and the college came up and said, you need $4,000 for some additional courses that I had to attend. You know, I had to attend these courses. These were external courses like firefighting, medical first aid, and a few others, you know, that would. And in order for me to proceed to the next semester, I would have had to complete all these courses. Now, what were the obstacles against me during this time? I had 1 month to come up with the $4,000. The college didn't tell us beforehand. They gave me 1 month. Next thing, the college did not allow me to continue unless I completed these courses. They said, you can't proceed. I would have to forfeit the semester and come back to Australia 1 year later to start the course again, the second semester, right? No financial aid was offered to international students at the college. See, my student visa had only 5 months validity, so like I said, I would have to go back to Malaysia and I could not, if I could not proceed to the next semester. No bank was going to loan us money because we were on a student visa. So in a nutshell, come up with the $4,000 or out you go. That's it. You need to add the $4,000 within 1 month or out you go. Now, most of the other Australian students in my class, they were sponsored by their company, so no dramas for them. I was self-sponsored. So all kinds of thoughts started running through my head, right? Where were you going to get this money from? Where going to get this $4,000 from? Did we make the right decision coming to Australia? Because we felt that God had sort of led us here. You know, and even if I tried to work for 1 month, I don't think I could have raised that $4,000. So doubt, fear, and anxiety started to set in, right? That evening, the bus ride home seemed like a very long one because we lived in Mosman Park and Frio to Mosman Park was only a 15-minute ride. We were renting a small apartment there. And when I got home from college that evening, I explained the scenario to Sheila. She didn't say much, but she calmly reassured me. Let's go down on our knees and pray to God. Thank God for the women in our lives, eh? She's not here, but I'm sure she'll hear the podcast. So we knelt down by our bedside and we started praying. Immediately, we felt the peace of God, okay? We felt God asking us to trust Him. And so that's what we did, you know? We continued to trust God and pray. 3 weeks went by, 1 week left to go, still nothing happened. I was trying to talk, I was having discussions with the college, I was trying to talk to them and ask them, you know, can you help me out, can I proceed? I'll try and come up with some sort of payment plan later, but they were pretty, you know, firm about their decision as well. So I tell you what, I was at a very huge low point in my life, you know. Then one evening, you know, in that last week, right, I had to pay some bills online. So I logged into our bank account, right? And there it was, $4,000 sitting there, okay? To be honest, slightly above $4,000. Where did the money come from? God's bank in heaven. I'm just kidding. The money came from the Australian Taxation Office, right? Can you imagine the, would you believe it, ATO banked in $4,000 to our account? It was actually Sheila's tax return for the financial year. You see, being new in Australia, we didn't know much about the taxation system, so we sort of, you know, filed our tax return, not expecting to get much back. And there it was, the money to pay for my short costs, and we had a little bit extra that night for a meal at Hungry Jack's. So I tell you what, it was humble beginnings, right? God had parted the Red Sea for us. God had come through for us. You know, because we put our faith in Him, we trusted God. I kid you not, that money that came in right to the tune of what I had to pay with a little bit extra, like I said. So don't tell God that you have a big problem. Tell your problem that you have a big God. You know, when I look back, right, I think that maybe if we couldn't pay the fees, we left and went back to Malaysia, we may not even have come back to Perth. I wouldn't even be standing here preaching to you today. God knew the plans that He had for us even back then. He knew the role that we had to play in Wellard. If some of you don't know, we are the campus pastors for Wellard, which is launching on April 3rd. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." When you exercise your faith in God, expect the supernatural power of God to work in your lives. Do not limit God. Our God is uncontainable. We cannot put God in a box, right? We serve a big, big God, and He can right that wrong in your life and give you deliverance from the things that are holding you down, all right? I'm going to go to my third point. God who parted the sea can change your life forever. God who parted the sea can change your life forever. You know, last week we just saw the camp leaders, right? They were being blessed by the church. That was great. And we heard about the success they had at camp, right? Even though it was tiring for the kids' leaders, they put up a fantastic effort to make this event a success. Now, why do I say success? I say success because some of the kids who attended this event, they actually gave their lives to God. That is the success. That is the result. That is the result, you know, that in spite of all the hard work, the challenges, the obstacles to pull this together, that is the success. You know, how great is that? Little children, non-believers, you know, allowing Jesus to come in their lives. It is so clear that the Spirit of God has stirred something in their hearts, isn't it? That Spirit of God. You know, for a child to put up their hand and say they wanted to make this decision, that's big, that's huge. So we have to trust that that's the Spirit of God in them. See, this morning after church service, you're going to witness the water baptisms of the children. And like I said, it's really heartwarming to see young ones declare their faith in Jesus Christ. The Israelites as well somewhat experienced a water baptism themselves as they passed the Red Sea. See, they did not get immersed or wet as they went to the Red Sea. But what happened after they had passed through the walls, the water flowed back to cover the ground. See, they left their life of past. They had left their lives of the past for a new beginning, as they could not turn back. They couldn't go back, you know. The waters had flowed over. Their old ways of living in Egypt was gone forever, and a new way of life was unfolding before them. You see, the parting of the Red Sea was a turning point in the history of the Israelites. By crossing the Red Sea, many things were taking effect in their lives. They had to trust God. They were leaving their past behind. They had a new future, but it was unknown. That's where the trust factor comes in. They were leaving slavery. They were becoming warriors. They had to fend for themselves. The past leaders over them died. Pharaoh was covered up in the sea when the waters flowed back as the army was pursuing them. And they had a new leader, Moses. See, for some of you here today, right, you may have had that one Red Sea moment in your life that has changed your life forever and defined the course of your life. That one time that God has come through for you and given you new deliverance from your old life. And Satan says, look at your sin, but God says, look at his son, Jesus Christ. You know, if we get stuck with our sin, we're never going to be released to do the things that God has planned for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You know, God can choose to renew your life. God can renew your life if you choose to follow him. Right? Talking about new beginnings as well, our church is experiencing a new beginning in the second quarter of 2016. We are launching the Wellard campus. Come on. Let's see some excitement there. It's our new beginnings for our church, right? C3 Frio is breaking new ground and spreading its wings to new territory. You know, I remember Greg Moore said it. He's standing right at the back. I think he put it very nicely. The church is giving birth to a baby church. And, you know, when I heard that, I thought it was really cool. He couldn't have captured it in any other way. Our church is giving birth to a baby church. Mothers who are sitting here now, you know about labor and having a child, mixed emotions, the challenges that it can bring, yet you stay motivated and push through because you can't wait to meet that new person that you've been carrying for 9 months. The joy that fills you up when you see that newborn baby for the first time. How amazing is that when you see that child? We are also going to experience that same joy at Wellard when we see the lives that are going to be transformed, the lives that are going to be brought to Jesus. Even the transformations within us, Sheila and I, our core group of leaders that are coming out with us to Wellard, our senior pastors, people who work in the church, even with you guys, the transformation is starting within. Hey, you know what? God has not called us to just be neutral. God has not called us just to be passive, but God has called us to be active for his kingdom. The same God that parted the Red Sea is going to do some supernatural things in Wellard and also in C3 Fremantle. You know what? Some of us may be coming in from 2015 into 2016 with the same struggles, with the same set of problems. Yes, we talk about a new lease, a brand new year, but we're coming into this new year with the same things. But I just want you guys to remember this. I'll just go to the last slide. Remember who your God is. When you go back today, think about the Red Sea moments in your life where God has come through for you. I would think a good starting point is to journal these events down in your lives as a reminder of God's goodness for you. Secondly, stand firm and exercise your faith. Challenges will come your way, but when you trust God, God will strengthen your faith. And the God who parted the Red Sea can change your circumstances forever. It may look like your situation is never going to change. Like I said, you come in from 2015 to 2016 with the same set of problems. But in a split second, God can completely resolve it and change your circumstances forever. You can be made new in the power of Jesus in your lives. So I urge you, it's a fresh start to the year. If you haven't got onto it yet, get in with Jesus. Start reading your Bible. Start spending time in prayer. You know, we are called to pray vibrantly to God. Lock your room up. Speak to God. You know, it's between you and Him, right? So, I just want to encourage you guys that it's going to be a fantastic year. It's going to be a good year. And God can part that Red Sea in your life. When you're faced with a Red Sea moment, God can part that Red Sea in your life. Amen. Let us pray. Just bow our heads down to commit this time to prayer. Father God, we just come before you this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I just thank you for your word, O Lord God. I pray, Lord Father, that this seed will fall on fertile ground, O Lord Jesus. The seed will fall on fertile ground, Lord Father, and your word penetrates, O Lord Jesus, Lord, to the hearts of the church, O Lord God. Father, it's not about me, but it's about you, Lord Jesus. And it's about the power of God and the presence of God in our lives. I thank you, Father, for the church. I pray as we leave, as we depart here this morning, Lord, for the week ahead, that you bless each and everyone here, and you give them a fantastic week in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to do the water baptism shortly, so I'll just like to invite the parents of the kids who are getting baptized.